Today's show is sponsored by Miracle Made. And oh my God, you guys, you know that I love a luxurious set of sheets. And I now have such a set of sheets because of a Miracle Made. They are bedding that has been inspired by NASA. They've got silver-infused fabrics that actually make temperature regulating a thing. So you're not like getting too hot or too cold or whatever, you know, the whole thing that happens with your body's temperature losing its mind. Miracle Made helps with that. One of the little things that my husband particularly loves about Miracle Made is that it like doesn't have as much bacteria as regular sheets because of it's infused with this silver that prevents up to 99.7% of bacterial growth. So it leaves the sheets cleaner for longer. And then the thing for my husband is that it doesn't give him acne, which is like an issue for some people. But more than all of that, it's just luxuriously comfortable and delightful. And it has that cooling feeling while also being cozy. Very hard to achieve those two things at the same time. I mean, Miracle Made, come on, well done. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and buy some sheets today. And if you order today, you can save 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION at the checkout and you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. So there's just a lot of savings here, folks. Order today, you'll get 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION. Go to trymiracle.com/FAKETHENATION. And Miracle's so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not 100% satisfied, which I don't see happening, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and use the code FAKETHENATION to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/fakethenation to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Fake the Nation, episode 233.
Hello, hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about politics, and where we celebrate the new year in whatever limited fashion that we can. I'm your host, Nagin Farsad, and I'm going to carb load for New Year's, which is really exciting for me. But I have some really great discussions coming your way. So let's get into it about New Year's. So if you're probably hearing this episode while you're gearing up for rip-roaring New Year's Eve, not celebrating in a large group. So I wanted to take this opportunity to reminisce about New Year's past and share ideas for how we can make New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and New Year's Week meaningful. So joining me to talk about this today are Sina Ghaznavi. Hey, Sina.
Hello. Happy New Year's.
He's also the host of the podcast Fraudsters. And Liz Winstead. Hey, Liz.
Hey, Nagin. Hey, Sina.
You can see Liz's new special, Corona Borealis, on Vimeo On Demand. Thanks so much for joining me. And I just wanted to start by asking, do you have like a New Year's memory, eve, day, whatever, era, that's particularly striking to you?
Yeah, before I started doing, I do a big annual comedy show yearly wrap up every year. So that's what I do on New Year's Eve. But my most memorable New Year's Eve before I started doing that, this was incredible. A friend of mine invited me to her home in Vermont.
Okay.
And rented a sleigh.
And okay.
At midnight, we wrapped up in blankets and did a sleigh ride through the mountains with this big moon. And we had a big bottle of Jägermeister and we just took shots of it. And we just went like going through this beautiful winter thing. And then afterwards we went to their house and ate stew. And it was like so incredible.
Wait, I have a question about this sleigh. Was it, is it that a horse is pulling a sleigh?
Yes, a horse is pulling a sleigh with 6 of us on it, and we're going through the paths of the mountains in the we're all bundled up, and it's just like this beautiful snow-covered Vermont mountain sleigh ride with Jägermeister, and it was insane.
Wait, that sounds insane, because also
So was did someone have expertise in the yes, management of this sleigh? Okay, gotcha.
Yes, yes. The guy's like a sleigh person.
Okay, got you. Because I grew up in the desert, so this is very far from my area of expertise. It just sounds like you're describing, you know, a scene in Citizen Kane. Like, it doesn't sound like a real...
It was peak whiteness. It was like Vermont and white people and like all wrapped up and Jägermeister. I mean, the only thing that...
The Jägermeister is what brings...
skins.
Right.
Wine skins.
The Jägermeister brings a fratty element to the affair that I did not expect, actually, when
Here's
you started
the
story.
Frat people stole Jägermeister from those of us who were using it to survive in long ways.
Can I tell you?
So I resent...
There was a period of my life that I want to say was 2012, where I was convinced that Jägermeister is a digestif, for the record. And so I was convinced that it was really good for my stomach after like a heavy meal. So I would go out with my friends or whatever, and then we would end up at a bar, and then I would say, yes, I'd like a Jägermeister, but I would like it in like an elegant fashion. I'm not some sort of finance bro that's ordering a Jägermeister right now. I'm using it as a digestif. And I would give this speech to the bartender every time. I did this for like 6 months like a lunatic. But I do want to say that it did have a calming effect on my, just like a nice sip and a nice small glass, snifter of Jägermeister did have a warming, calming effect on my stomach. Okay, Sina,
now that you know
about my history with Jägermeister,
I can't beat
memory?
A sleigh ride. I have like more of a New York moment kind of memory for my New Year's. You know, I used to do a comedy show on New Year's, and then we kind of stopped because it was just too crazy. We were just too drunk at the show, which I guess is the point. But then I remember going to one of those rooftop, overpriced, all you could drink things where they got a dome on the top of the roof and it's like a party, and we're all coming down after the ball has dropped and everything. And it's downtown, kind of near NYU area. And I remember seeing a group of people out at the corner. You know, people are just like meandering everywhere after midnight in New Year's in Manhattan. And I see a guy cross the street and a cab hits him. I mean, the cab hit the guy. His legs went straight up in the air. He comes down, hits the hood of the car, rolls off. And the driver pops out, and my friends are like, oh, my God, this man's dead. This man's dead. I kid you not. This man stood up immediately. The man who was just hit stood up, walked to the side of the taxi cab, opened the back seat door, the passenger door, got in and said to the guy, take me to the hospital. The taxi cab driver was still outside of his car looking at
him.
He just didn't know what to do. He was like, okay, I guess I'm taking you to the hospital.
Oh my
This was an elaborate way of hailing a cab. I didn't know that people went to such lengths to hail
a
cab.
On New Year's Eve in New York, I believe that is true. They take the meters out and it's just like, you're freezing and drunk and have the wrong shoes on, and it's like $150 to take you $2. So I believe that you were correct. I've
never seen such strength out of a New Yorker before. So I was really trying to find some like heartwarming one, but that memory is burned into my mind for obvious reasons.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. It's funny. Well, your experience of doing the rooftop parties reminded me of this time I was in Cuba. It's not a big deal, guys. I have a passport. And I was in Cuba. Did I mention Cuba? And the thing with Cuba is that I can't remember what they're called, but there's like Paladir or something. There's these like private restaurants that are now like legal. And this was, you know, this was around the time, this was like 2015 or something. Obama mentioned that we're formalizing relationships with Cuba. We're going to open the border. You're going to be able to travel. And it was like the first thing I did was like, we're going, like book travel. Because I was like, before we ruin Cuba, I have to see Cuba. And we went to this restaurant. It was on. So the thing with Havana is that a lot of of Havana was sort of abandoned during, you know, the unrest or whatever, the revolution. And so there's a lot of, you know, you'll see these high rises that used to be, you know, the pièce de résistance, but now they're sort of like half abandoned or whatever. I mean, it's fascinating. It's wonderful. I had a great time. And so one of these restaurants was like on the 26th floor of one of these pseudo abandoned high rises. And we get in and the elevator, because of the other thing about a lot of Cuba is that it's dilapidated, but like in a wonderful way.
It's
dilapidated in a wonderful way. And charming, charming dilapidation. And we get in the elevator and the elevator stops in between floors, somewhere between 1 and 26. And I am panicking my face off. And I, you know, and then we're just there for like 5 minutes, not knowing. There's no clear thing for like an alarm button. And I was just like, oh my God, we're a couple of Americans like stuck in an elevator in Cuba and no one will find us and it's over. And then finally the elevator started moving. We went up, had dinner. It was lovely. And then I was just too scared to get back into the elevator. So then we walked down like 26 flights of stairs. So anyways, for some reason, but it was 26 Cuban flights of stairs, which made it
a little
cool.
A little dangerous.
You know what I mean?
That's a good story.
Moving on the edge.
It's a story that's neither here nor there. It's mostly to indicate what a worldly person I am. So my question for you both is, now we're going to have a different type of New Year's. Is there anything you're planning? And I think people put too much pressure on the night. I don't really give a shit about the night. I do kind of like celebrating the change of the year in general. Like, what, you know, you take a few days to kind of get comfortable with 2021, or like have some expectations of it or have some hopes for it. What are you planning on doing this year to kind of make it special?
My wife and I are going to cook dinner here, and I think just try to have a moment for us. We're actually, I'm telling you this now on the show, we're actually moving to California in January. And so,
oh my God.
And so this will be our last New Year's in New York here.
The last hurrah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm just going to, I guess, break a bottle of champagne in my own home. I don't know.
Liz, any plans?
I'm sort of carrying on my own tradition of doing this massive year in review show. So on New Year's Eve, I am asking people to watch my special, because it is a recap up until like just post-election. And then I'm going to do a live, like, here's the rest of the year that we're all going to talk about, and finish off the year by savoring it. And then I'll do that. So that's my plan.
Where is it? Where do we see it? How do we see it?
I gotta
figure
out.
You figure it out. Okay.
It'll be some Zoom. Some Zoom
situation.
Party,
yeah,
Zoom
yeah, yeah,
situation
yeah.
That I'm gonna figure out. So
yeah.
If you want to know more about it, you know, just follow me on Twitter.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no particular plans myself. I just you know, I do like to sort of like write down some stuff that I hope for 2021, from the granular to like the super big, you know, and global. So one thing that we've done for many years now is like write down those things and then like burn them outside in like a safe container. And then just have that kind of energy go into the world of like these hopes that we have. And it's funny because it's like I don't remember what I was hoping for or whatever. I mean, it's always something good, you know what I mean? But I like the act, because it's sort of just kind of helps me bring in the new year with some kind of intentionality and optimism. And I think, you know, with the year that we've all had, man, wouldn't it be nice to try and bring it in with some optimism. You know what I mean?
Amen. Yeah.
Yes.
We need as much as we possibly can after this year. Oof.
Yeah, I mean, holy fuck. So, folks, Sina and Liz, thanks so much for joining me on this New Year's Eve. And can you tell people where to find you?
Yeah, you can find me at Sina Now, SEENANOW, on all social media, even on TikTok. You can find me on TikTok. I don't really do anything on TikTok, but it's fun. I think everyone should be on TikTok.
Weird TikTok plug on the show. Yeah. Okay, Liz.
You can find me at Liz Winstead. I spell my name with two Z's on all the socials. And follow Abortion Front on all the socials, and especially on TikTok, because we are nailing it on TikTok.
Oh, amazing. Weird continual TikTok plugs here on Fake the Nation. All right, folks, that was Sina and Liz and me, and Happy New Year. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to share our funniest memories. Today's show is sponsored by Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I have used Rocket Money. And you guys, honestly, I had no idea how many things I was subscribing to that I didn't want to be subscribing to. I think we enter into subscriptions with a Pollyanna view that we're going to use as a subscription, even though it's a super obscure, you know, education app from Albania that teaches Russian math or whatever. And then you're like, I'm never going to use this. Why did I get it? I should remember to cancel it. And then you don't. And I know you guys are like me, and I know you've done this to yourselves. And guess what? 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about. So we're all in this bucket. And I think paying for that stuff is so angering, and Rocket Money is there to help. Because basically Rocket Money shows you, hey, look at this is what all the things you are subscribed to. But then here's the bigger thing. To unsubscribe, you don't have to go through the whole rigmarole. Rocket Money unsubscribes for you with a click of a button. It's so easy. The other thing Rocket Money did for me, which I was incredibly grateful for, was reduce the cost of one of my bills. It was my cable bill. Yes, I still have cable. Rocket Money has over 5 million users that have saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. I mean, that tracks for me and for the number of things I was paying for that I'm frankly ashamed of. So thank you, Rocket Money, for like fixing the shame glaze on my life. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. rocketmoney.com/fakethenation, you guys.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild.
conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're ready for the next topic. Folks, I'm joined by host of the NPR podcast, Ask Me Another, and all-around wonderful comedian, Ophira Eisenberg. Hey, Ophira.
Hi, Nagin.
And today, me and Ophira are just going to exchange two dumb stories, funny stories from our lives. And we make no promises that they're funny to other people, but they are funny to us.
Fair enough.
I'm lowering expectations.
No, I like that, because sometimes what makes you laugh in your little head from your life
doesn't necessarily work.
Good. All right.
Exactly. Ophira, what is your funniest memory?
Okay, you know, this is the one that literally just pops into my brain every once in a while and makes me laugh out loud when I'm just wandering around. Yeah. As a kid, I just really idolized and looked up to my brother, my older brother.
Yeah.
Just thought he was the coolest, even though he teased me a lot, but I just really admired him. And I remember this one time that we went to the dentist, as we would. My mother would take us both to the dentist at the same time.
Okay.
And it was discovered that my brother had a cavity, which was a big deal because we are kind of a no cavity tolerance kind of family.
Yeah. Anti-cavity, got it.
Anti-cavity. We all had a very intense dental regime. So he had a cavity. He had to get a filling. And of course, you know, we were told at the time, very painful. This is a big deal. Cavity filling, very painful.
Yeah.
Back, I feel like the technology has changed, but this is back a while ago. But he
in the early 2000s,
that's right.
Yeah.
And he put on this, you know, big thing about how he was only gonna have a little tiny bit of the, you know,
lidocaine,
Novocaine, because he was super strong and he was like fierce guy. And I was like, yeah, he's super strong. He's fierce guy. He's even good to get a cavity with very little of the pain stuff. And I just had a teeth cleaning. And then just him and I left the office together because my mother was waiting for us in the car. And we left the office. We're in a professional building. And you know, I was like, how was it? Did it really hurt? He was like, it was really hard. It was really painful. But you know, I just had a little tiny bit of the Novocaine because it was so intense. And I was like, wow, he's so strong. I admire him. He's so fierce. And then as we are walking to the elevator, he goes 1 minute and he opened up the door to the emergency exit stairs and puked, closed the door. And he was like, okay, let's go.
Wait a second. I have so many questions, which is that, how old were you guys in this story?
I mean, I feel like I was like 9. And so he was like 14, 15.
Okay, got you. So did anyone, what happened to the vomit? Like, does the vomit just sit there for the rest of eternity?
Sadly, someone eventually discovered the vomit and someone would be called to then clean up the vomit. Yes, that part of the story is sad. And to whoever had to deal with that.
But, like, the person who alerted the authorities was not either of you? That's what I'm saying.
No.
Is, as children, did you take responsibility for the vomit in any way?
Oh, no. I couldn't even believe what happened. And he was clearly just so mortified and wanted to stick to his brand of being
super cool.
Being super cool that he just puked. And we left.
But, okay.
Puke and leave. I don't know if you've ever seen anyone do a puke and leave. It's hilarious.
Yeah, like a drive-by puke. Here's my question, though. Did you say anything to him after? Or did he say anything after? Like, what was the conversation after the puke?
Oh, no. My family is not one of conversations about things like these. This is just something you take in and you go, that happened. And we will never speak of it again. But I did bring it up to him not that long ago. I was back home and I said, you know what goes through my mind every once in a while? And I thought, you know, sometimes you have these memories and the other person doesn't.
Yeah, like
they mean nothing. But he totally remembered that.
Yeah, a meaningful puke.
A meaningful puke.
In front of your sister you're trying to act all cool around.
And he was so afraid to admit, even to himself, that he couldn't handle it. Like that it was actually way too intense.
No, I love that. I remember once Ophir and I were having dinner with some other people and people were exchanging childhood memories. I don't know if you remember this. And someone was saying about their childhood how much fun they'd had. And I was just like, as a family, we didn't do anything fun, right? Like fun was not a part of my childhood. And you were like, fun was definitely not a part of my childhood. Like we both bonded over how like fun was not something that our families believed in.
No, low priority, low priority.
Very low priority. It was really just about the struggle and fucking getting there wherever there was.
And that's like, right. And yeah. Having basic needs met.
And having basic needs met non-joyfully.
Non-joyfully. Right? Oh, no. If you were experiencing joy, be careful because God will take that away from you.
Right, right, right. I think it's like the Jewish family mentality meets the Muslim immigrant mentality in a beautiful apotheosis of totally no fun.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And my parents were immigrants, too. And my mother, like, lived through World War II as a teenager. And my father fought in World War II, but for Britain, because he was from Israel. So anyways, they totally had
immigrant, Jewish,
joyless.
World War II, Depression era, all yes. of everything. Yeah, yes. yeah, 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 totally. That's awesome.
Oh, boy.
No, exactly, because my parents functioned all the time as if everything was going to fall apart at any moment. Okay, I'm going to share with you my funny memory. So I shared another funny memory last week. And this is the other one that competes with that one for like what I always think of. I was once, and I actually told this on another podcast a while ago, the Sklar brothers. So you can hear me do it in another way. I was at Columbia for grad school. Not a big deal. It's not something I'm bragging about. It's just a reality.
Just
anyway,
the truth.
So I was at Columbia and my friend was at Harvard and the two of us were doing a co-production type project thingy between the two schools or whatever. So I had to go to Harvard to have a meeting with like the Harvard team and I was on the Columbia side. And anyway, so just a bunch of elite shitty people involved. No, and this is like one of my best friends who's like, it's funny because we're like, you know, she's black, I'm like brown and Muslim, and together we were like a weird group of people. I go to Harvard and she picks me up from the train station and she's like, let's get some sandwiches before we get into the meeting. It was really cold out and she's like, yeah, we'll just go, we'll eat them there, but just pick them up and I'll stay in the car. So I don't have to find parking. And I was like, sounds great. So she parks in the store, the sandwich shop. I walk in, I get these sandwiches and it had snowed or something in Boston. It was really, really cold. I remember this. And I grew up in the desert, right? And I come outside and I was like, oh, fuck, like the snow. This is like annoying terrain to walk on with bags of sandwiches. And so I'm just really slowly taking step by step by step on this ice and snow. I'm so scared. I don't know where you think the story is going over here. But I'm so scared, right? Because even though I've been living on the East Coast for many years, I still have a hard time walking in anything that isn't just a sunny day. And so I'm like walking real slow. I'm real careful. I don't want to slip. I slowly open the car door. I slowly get into the car. I'm just like, I don't want the sandwiches to fall. I don't want anything to happen. I put the sandwiches down. I pull the seatbelt over, you know, I unbutton my jacket, right? The heater's on in the car, whatever. I look over and I had gotten into the wrong car. It was some random guy's car. I had, in slow motion, folks, walked minutes, and I looked through the window to my friend who was sitting in the other car, and she was laughing so hard that she couldn't stop to, like, say, Nagin, you're in slow motion getting into the wrong car. And the guy just didn't say a word. He just, I mean, minutes they all watched me do this. No one could say anything because they were laughing so hard. Yeah. And that's just one of those stories that I think about. So then I turned to him and I said, oh, I'm sorry, bud. These sandwiches are not for you.
Right. You just give bring the most amazing food during like a storm into some random person's car. And then you're like, oh, sorry. Sorry.
By the way, this is before Uber, right? This isn't right. one of those things where it's like we all get into cars. No, I was getting into the front seat of some random car that had nothing to do with me. Also, because I don't know if this has happened to you, but I have car blindness living in New York City. I can't tell the difference between cars, right?
Oh, and so, not at all. I hate that when someone's like, I'm coming to pick you up in a Chrysler Mobile. And you're like,
whatever that is. All I know is cab or not cab. That's the only difference I can see with my eyes is cab or not cab. Yeah. So that's, I think, part of the problem that we encountered there. Folks, that is my funny story, Ofura. Thank you so much for sharing yours.
Oh, Nagin. The next time I walk into the wrong car, and let me tell you, it will probably be soon, I'll think about what it would be like to do that with sandwiches. Oh, and friends.
Friends. Ofura Eisenberg, where do they find you online?
You can find me at OfuraEisenberg.com or socials at Ofura E.
And then don't forget to listen to her. She is the wonderful host of Ask Me Another on NPR. Thank you to our production team here at Fake the Nation. That's our producer, Anita Flores, our talented audio engineer, Andy Christens. Gabi Alter wrote our theme music, and Lily Fleschler helps with research. And listeners, we love to hear from you. So send us your feedback, topics we should be chatting about, guest ideas you might have. You can leave us a voicemail at 331-901-0005, or you can drop us a line at comments at fakethenation.com. If you like what you hear, please favorite Fake the Nation on Stitcher, follow us on Spotify, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And do leave us a review on Apple Podcasts because it helps people find the show. Happy New Year, everybody. And here's to a much better 2021. We'll be back in your earballs next week.